Trigger warning. This episode of Fluid Thoughts is trigger warned for mentions of sexual assault, genocide, and ethnic cleansing. Yes, guess who's back, back again, I'm still black. Black, yes, guess who's back, back again, I'm still black, my rent's too high, goddamn, I'm gonna start stealing, yes I am. What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Fluid Flower, and we are back, honey, with the preliminary, primary, firstiary episode of 2024, okay? If you're just joining us... Welcome to Fluid Thoughts. Y'all, please. And baby, when I tell you I have so many thoughts. But before we get into those thoughts, let me give you a quick update and do some housekeeping. So the show will remain bi-weekly because in 2024, we're moving slower and with more intention. Do I have a strong desire to give y'all a show every week? Yes. Is that sustainable? Fuck no. So be on the lookout for every... What am I saying? So be on the lookout for new episodes every other Thursday. Follow the Instagram and the TikTok page. Okay? On Instagram, it's at Fluid Thoughts Pod. And on TikTok, it's at Fluid Flower. Or you can search Lisa Tepesh of Lupu. Shout out to the Castlevania girlies. If you know, you know. And oh, by the way, I have started a new tarot reading page called At Fluid Tarot. And we'll get into why I started all that in that tarot journey in a little bit. But yes, follow me on all the socials, girls, so you can keep up with new episodes and updates. Turn those notifications on Apple Music or what's it called? Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Turn them on so you know. Also, there's so many alsos. The creative writing element will be making a comeback. I think at the core of me, I love to tell stories. I am certain that I am a descendant of storytellers who sat around a fire, keeping the knowledge of the tribe. Like, there's just no other reason, girl. Like, I love to pop my shit and I love to tell stories. Like, so I'm bringing that back. Because guess what, bitch? I'm writing a book, okay? Listen, when I first started this podcast, I put so much pressure on myself to hurry up and push out content, to hurry up and get my following up, to hurry up for the sake of hurrying up. Like, I was low key out of my mind. And that's mainly because when you are living in precarity, financial insecurity, medical insensitivity, bombastery, you're constantly looking for the quickest way to get out of your situation. But I realized, like, I made a lot of mistakes. Like, I launched my Patreon way too early. Like, I had 3 followers and charging them $3 a month for audiobooks that I couldn't finish on time. And so I was trying to write audiobooks and do my 9-to-5 and help out my family and take care of myself and write new material for the show and do Patreon every week. I was doing all of this on top of like a tech certification class, which I'm no longer doing, by the way. Like, I'm simply just gonna focus on my artwork and my content. And we'll get into that in a bit, but I was just everywhere doing everything all at once. And now I have a realization that like good things, they take time. And so I'm working on being gentle on myself, like working on moving slower. But hey, it's a work in progress. And all I have to do, like I have to remind myself each and every day, all I have to do is just do a little bit each day. Like I have a trauma of thinking I have to do it all or nothing. And life literally is not like that. Like, you have to try and see what works. You have to try and fail again. And the Patreon, it'll be up and running soon, but that's when the universe guides me to do it sustainably. The book will be here ready for purchase when I complete the manuscript and get an editor and find a manufacturer to help me self-publish. You see what I'm saying? The money I will make from doing my books, my tarot readings for the girls, it will all come as soon as I am ready. Okay? Because everything I want to happen is going to happen. Matter of fact, the shit already happened. I just have to live into it. Come on, somebody. I know you hear me. So if you're like me and you have a tendency to rush things because you are desperate for your situation to change, because you want to live the life you want to live, you want the solutions today, baby, I urge you, I beg you, I implore you, I behoove you. Just take it one step at a time. Okay. Thank God every day that you're alive, because it's a day that you get to live and organize yourself into your dreams. If you want to write, write a page a day. If you want to sing, learn a song a day or half a song, whatever your goals are, do them incrementally. And I'm preaching to myself, do them incrementally, because that will have a lasting impact. And it will be better for us in the long run because we took our time and we learned our craft. Amen. So yeah, all that to say, I have so much planned for this year. So much to share with the world, and we're going to take that journey together, babes. Okay. Girl, let's get into the show. I was low key very nervous because I didn't know how to talk about all that I want to talk about, right? Like, how do you function normally when you're witnessing destruction of a people through your phone? Like, how do you even function when you see the destruction of your own people every day here in America, and then also seeing whole cities, nations, ethnic groups mercilessly being killed, like displaced, while we're here in America, we're still here in America, we can't even afford rent, food, medicine. Like, girl, mama is tired, okay? So let me paint the picture for y'all. Let me give y'all an update of what's been going on with me, okay? So when Jordan Neely was murdered on that New York subway, I deleted my Twitter. Like, between him, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, Tamir Rice, Sandra Bland, and all of the other murdered Black people and children, I could not take the racist bots, the racist white people, the Negropeans, and the anti-Black people of color talking about Jordan Neely as if his life didn't matter. That man was 30 years old. He was born a month after me, December 18th, 1992. And so as I say that out loud, I still cannot comprehend that death to those who are so young happens. Like, when my dad died, I was very sad and I had to contend with death. But like, my dad was older and he was sick. So it, to my body, like, the grief process, it wasn't easy, but like, it made more sense in retrospect. But seeing and having to contend with the death of the aforementioned Black people and children that were murdered, seeing the hatred online from people's stupid ass comments, seeing the fact that not one person got up on that train and stopped that white ex-Marine and most likely a white supremacist, nobody stopped him. I think that's what I couldn't contend with. Like, that part is what broke me. This man wasn't a cop in technicality, right? Like, yeah, he was a former Marine, a possible war criminal, but he wasn't an active NYPD officer. When we think of the Black people I just named, they died by police violence. And I want to be very careful about what I say next, because I don't want my argument or my analysis to be misconstrued. But when Black people who die by police violence, I can intellectualize the why behind their deaths, because I know that police are an occupying power that does the bidding of empire through violence, right? When Kwame Ture was known as Stokely Carmichael, he said this. He said that if a white man wants to lynch me, that's his problem. If he's got the power to lynch me, that's my problem. Racism is not a question of attitude. It's a question of power. Racism gets its power from capitalism. Thus, if you're anti-racist, whether you know it or not, you must be anti-capitalism. The power for racism, the power for sexism, comes from capitalism, not an attitude. End quote. Shout out to Kwame Ture. Rest in peace. So to see people, regular, everyday people, sit on that train and watch that man be choked, someone is crying out loud that they're hungry and they are tired, and not one person get that man a dollar, get him a sandwich. Y'all just thought like choking him was the better option. Like, that shit really blew me. It broke my spirit. So I'm like, yeah, at that point I was like, fuck social media. I just deleted my Twitter account. And this was back in May, obviously. And at that point I was already off TikTok because I didn't want to see any clips from people going to the Renaissance World Tour in Europe. So I'm off social media. I'm trying to work through my depression. Groceries are high as hell. My job switched my insurance to Cigna, which made all my prescriptions more expensive. And then my FSA, federal spending account or flex spending account, whatever the fuck it's called, it ran out of money. So I was just struggling. Like, the only thing that kept me from going insane was that I was going to be at the Renaissance World Tour on the floor, front row, spent an arm and a leg on that layaway, honey, because my homegirl from my last job, she's the one who actually bought the ticket. What ended up happening was I had a pre-sale code or something. So I was like, yeah, I got the pre-sale code, but I don't got no money. She was like, oh, like if I buy your ticket, can you just pay me back like in installments? And I was like, oh, for sure. Absolutely. Because I had $2 in my account. So I paid her back over 6 months. And I was only able to do that because I had a bit of extra income coming in from helping take care of my niece after school. So I had like a third job at this point. So I am working myself into a stupor. I was training for a temporary role at work. I would go from there. So I would do my normal 9-to-5 role. And then from 4:30 to 6:30 every day for like 6 weeks, I was training with one of the managers to like do like this sales portion of, or something. And then I would go take care of my niece from like 6 or 45 or whenever I got to like finally leave my house to like damn near 8-9 o'clock every night. And then I would come back home. And then I would write, record, and edit the podcast in one night because I was trying to keep up with that, releasing an episode every week. I was so fucking deflated every fucking night. I did not have time for social media at that point. Oh, and at that point, I was still training for tech certification. So I would like do the podcast after I did all that stuff. And then like Monday through Thursday or like whenever I was like studying for these tech certifications. That it's so, it was like at this point, it's useless, right? So I go to Renaissance World Tour. I hope I'm making sense. I was just like doing too much. But what ended up me stop like pursuing the technical certification, I went to Renaissance World Tour and I have an amazing time. And I was so impacted by Beyonce's work. Like it was truly a time to be had and one for the books. One of my best friends came over. He's literally like one of my soulmates. He stays with me for like almost a week and we just rip through the city and we have a great time. And, you know, after the concert and the vacation and everything is done, we're going into like a full moon. So as I'm doing my full moon manifestations, I am like crying on the floor, asking God, like, why am I still struggling like this? Why can't I achieve my goal of being a project manager in the tech world so that I can make a whole bunch of money and use that money to fund my scripts and writing and books and whatnot? And so God, the universe, the divine mother above spoke to me and she said, it's because you're not following your Renaissance way. I was shook. Shookest. Everything within me was like, oh, that's actually quite correct. Mother said, why do you keep following the path that others laid out for you? That's why your manifestations aren't coming to pass, because you actually don't mean them. And I just had to sit with that. That was like the first time in 5 years I was actually hearing myself. And so I realized that the tech cert plan, while it was a great plan, it just wasn't my plan. And I actually didn't want to do it. And I had just been lying to myself for these last few years, trying to impress people that I don't even talk to anymore. I was so busy trying to develop skills that I thought I needed to survive this world when I realized it's the world that needs to change. And here, listen, this is the tea for the girlies who are actually pursuing these tech certifications to get better paying jobs. It's not that the tech certs are useless. It's just that these jobs always have a catch 22, right? Like once you get the cert, they want experience. If you have the experience but no certification, then they use that as a way to not pay you your due, your just due, your money. Plus, the tech sector is very overexploited. There are massive layoffs and they're trying to essentially switch people to become 1099 contract workers so that these companies don't have to pay into your healthcare. And it's all a fucking scam. And like, it's really a way to just get us to go insane. Like, think about LinkedIn and like the job recruiting or the job hiring process, right? How many assessments and interviews are you recruiters going to do before you actually start hiring people? They're messing with us so that we can just accept paltry offerings and low salaries while they steal our wages and evade taxes. These people are hoarding the wealth at the top and they're playing in our fucking faces. So I have to have a heart to heart with God about following my own path and creating the world I want to see. I get reinvigorated and I'm like excited, and I'm excited to reinvent myself, to create content and to collaborate with people and host events. And then I open my phone and see dead Palestinian children. I had been off socials even after the concert because I was just like, I'm just going to not be informed about anything anymore. I was just going to be an airhead and just chill and just ignore everything. And like at one point I told my best friend, I was like, I'm in my bimbo era. I just want to be cute and clueless. But the images of the martyred children kept coming to my feed. And so I'm laying in my bed, I'm high on gummies. And like, I literally heard the universe was like, it's time to wake up out of your slumber. Like, you took a break. I know that was a lot for you, but you need to get your ass up. And so I remember perusing on the TikTokies, and I saw a whole bunch of videos of people calling out the TikTok account Under the Desk News and other neoliberals who were like encouraging people to turn off your phones and focus on your mental health. So that shit called me off too. Because when we talk about mental health, the thing that's bothering my mental health is capitalism. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, how you gonna focus on your mental health when the motherfucking thing that's making your mental health bad is the thing that we need to be looking at right now and examining so that we can actually have proper mental health? Because to some extent, like, you know what's going on at this point. And I knew what was going on, but I was just like, let me just be in my airhead mode. I'm in my Renaissance era, whatever, whatever. And I was just like, you too are pursuing empire because if you're refusing to look away. It doesn't matter if you are a marginalized identity. That doesn't mean that you can't be complicit in genocide. Anyone, regardless of skin color, can uphold systems that enable and encourage empire. And we see that shit all the time. Look at Kamala Harris. Look at the Obamas. Jim Clyburn. The Squad. Like... And so the people who have been activated and knew what was up with Palestine were like, no, don't turn off your screens because this is how they get away with genocide. And so for the first time in my life, I even think on this podcast, I had said free Palestine, but I didn't know to the extent of what I was talking about. And so I'm seeing for the first time in my life what Palestinians were talking about for 75 plus years. And this is exactly why I trigger warned the episode, because to see a Palestinian father carrying the remaining limbs of his children in plastic trash bags, you don't come back from shit like that. Like, by the time my birthday came around in November, I remember my other best friend, she had asked me like, oh, like, what did you do for Halloween? And I told her, I was like, all I did was cry. Like, the same emotional response that I get when I think about George Floyd and his death. Watching how Derek Chauvin kneeled on his neck for nearly 9 minutes, I was broken. And so the same feelings that I felt during the summer of 2020, that anxiety of just like watching shit go down, seeing people be beat and people die from police violence, that is the same anxiety. That same anxiety returned to me when I put my eyes on this genocide. And so like every day since the bombardment, I cry, I grieve, I pray. And then to see that there are multiple atrocities happening at the same time by the same colonial powers, to hear about, you know, more and more about the coltan mines in the Congo, that nearly 48 women are sexually assaulted every hour in the Congo, the sexual violence going on in Sudan, children are being starved by famine because of collective punishment. Like, I couldn't ignore anything anymore. And honestly, I don't think I could ever go back to who I was. Like, all the things that I went through when my dad died, like, it was hard to eat, hard to take a shower. Like, I felt like I didn't deserve my comforts because I only have my comforts because I was fortunate enough to be born in the belly of the beast. Had my parents decided to, you know, stay in Nigeria, what would my life look like? You know, I don't know the hardship of war directly here in America. I could have easily been a person born on the continent, killed either by war or from lack of infrastructure or access or lack of access to basic medicine. Like, knowing that and then seeing genocides in real time, it has completely changed me. Like, baby, what the fuck is a McDonald's? I don't even know who the fuck Starbucks is. Never heard of those bitches. And it's just getting to the point, like, even what I used to find comfort in, like, fast food, DoorDash, I'm cooking every meal now. Because I will say this, the way DoorDash, it's not even worth it. Like, imagine, right, me, depression is beating my ass already since my daddy died. Even before my daddy died, I've been depressed for a very long time. And the medicine that I take to manage my type 2 diabetes, my endometriosis, all of the things that I've got, right? The medicine I take causes symptoms that not only make me tired, but sometimes can give me a lot of pain, right? So what's a girl to do? What am I to do other than to tap into my comforts and into my distractions? Like, so what I used to do, I would DoorDash McDonald's while I was high on gummies. I was ordering everything. Double cheeseburger. My order would be a double cheeseburger, nuggets, fries, and chocolate chip cookies. And that's just a good ass high meal. And I've been doing that ever since like January of 2023, right? Because I was like, fuck being sober. Fuck that shit. Girl, I was just in my bliss. The weekend is mine and mine alone. I'm finna take these gummies, DoorDash this trash ass food, and go to bed watching a good old nostalgic movie. Not anymore. DoorDash, Uber Eats, that shit is out the door. I virtually have stopped eating fast food in terms of like, I would like eat it every occasionally, like what I would consider to be like a food emergency when I'm having like a dizzy spell or like my blood sugar is low and I can't stand up to cook a meal, right? Like, I don't have 30 minutes to cook a meal because I might pass out. So let me just go pick up this Whataburger or this Wingstop or this Sonic or whatever. And so I said, instead of delivering food to myself, let me just go pick the shit up myself, right? And not allow DoorDash to get $10, $20 in fees out of me, right? And when I think about it, even with just like going and picking up the food, I was like, you don't need to eat this food. Like, I get it. It's quick. But like, girl, your blood sugars have spiked back up. Like, they're not bad. Like, my A1C is a 7.1, but it was like the reason why you're door dashing is because you didn't want to lose your parking spot in your apartment because you wasn't trying to walk and pass out from the overflow and 100 plus degree weather, right? And so it seems like a stupid ass reason, but when you're depressed, this is the rationale of a person who is experiencing like depression and disability. And so like, I'm door dashing because I don't want to walk too far to like avoid heat stroke. And then like once you DoorDash, the food gets here and like $40 is out of your account and you're doing that 2-3 times a week, baby, that's grocery money. Okay. So I was just like, look, after seeing body after body after body, I said, okay, fuck this. I'm making my own bread. Whatever's in that freezer, that's what I'm going to eat. If I can't afford fresh vegetables, I'm buying canned vegetables or frozen veggies. Like, I need to be more serious and more disciplined if we're talking about bringing revolution to where we are, right? DoorDash deleted that shit off the phone. The gummies, I only use them to go to sleep and I take half of it now. Because at this point, it's really truly about a focus on my health as well. And so, like I said, my blood sugars have climbed back up a little bit. I've been under so much stress eating more and more starchy food because it's cheaper, you know, because it's whatever I could get my hands on because I couldn't afford groceries. But again, like I said, I couldn't afford groceries because your ass is door dashing all the fucking time and you're door dashing all the fucking time because you're tired and you're tired because you're constantly fucking working. And so I'm just stuck in this vicious cycle of not taking care of myself and focusing on things that didn't fucking matter. Like, for weeks, I was just in pain and numb, and I felt like I was going crazy because every day, right, like, watching this fucking genocide on your phone, every day I'm getting up and going to work at these little silly little jobs, and I'm having to pretend to give a shit about my white coworkers' dogs, their favorite chew toy. Girl, bitch, don't let me quit this job, bitch. Get the fuck up out of here. And this is what really motherfucking blew me. How can you bitches just sit up here and pretend like genocides are not happening? Like, I don't think I can ever understand the brain of a corporate NPC. And it's not just white people. Like, it's everybody who, like, participates in this capitalism shit. Like, all skin colors. These people are corporate NPCs. They're actual fools. And they are the ones, in my opinion, who allow genocides to happen because they look away. Like, it was just so difficult, like, smiling and pretending to, like, care about office birthdays. We don't even work in a fucking office. We work remotely. Like, it used to piss me off. People were like, oh, such and such is leaving. They're retiring. Bitch, I don't know them. Like, there are people stuck and trapped under the rubble. Girl. So, not only that, okay, as I continue my recap of 2023, work was stressing me out so bad. I started experiencing illness, right? Because they was just doing too much, putting too much on your girl's plate. And on my birthday, I had some, like, serious stomach issues. Possibly some mild, like, irritable bowel syndrome. I don't know. I'm just self-diagnosing at this point. I could not keep food down at all. Food did not stay in me long enough, right? I had constant migraines and I couldn't work. And then on top of that, so you're experiencing the grief of a genocide and you feel helpless and hopeless. You're just experiencing like the utmost of doomerism. You have, you know, the nerve of these corporate America bitches go sit up here and have the nerve to start asking, hey, where's Effie? I haven't heard from her in a while. Girl, let me tell you something. When the NPCs at work start asking about you, go ahead and start arranging your exit. Because it's something so insidious about when an employee says, hey, I'm ill, I can't come into work. And then the people you work with are gossiping behind your back asking you where you are. Why are you talking to me? If you can't say, hey, feel better, we don't got shit to talk about. Like, we don't have shit to talk about. So when I bring up that I was ill, they're like, oh, well, you should have told us. We could have helped you. I'm like, I did tell you. Did you not see my messages? Oh, of course you didn't see my messages. Because y'all be in a Slack, a recorded channel. Y'all be in the Slack talking about the most personal things. Y'all are here at this job because y'all want to be friends. And people, corporate NPCs, they get so mad when you don't want to necessarily, I'm not unfriendly, right? But also, like, you bitches are not my friends. Like, y'all are my coworkers. And that's no tea, no shade. Because I'm sorry, like, I'm here to pay for this expensive ass apartment and have access to health insurance so I don't fucking die. I didn't come here to talk about why your husband is leaving you with a 3-year-old and a newborn for a bad bitch named Brenda in Puerto Vallarta. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not here for that shit. I don't care. So yeah, 2023 was a lesson. I learned that things are not going to come overnight, like I said before. Because the day that the girlies were saying that bullshit to me, oh, where's Effie? I don't know where she's at. It looks like she's not in the Slack and la la la. I said, oh yeah. Kya, pack your low. Start looking for other jobs on LinkedIn. Oh yeah. But like, I'm telling you, my mental health was like not in a good place. I was willing to apply to office manager jobs and go back to an actual fucking office if it meant making slightly a bit more money and leaving these people in the dust. So I cried. I called my mama. Like, I went out and flew out to Cali to see my mom. It was so nice. Stayed there for about 2 weeks. I had to work while I was out there, but I mean, the good thing about it is I was working on my tarot content and like doing a reading on myself every day. I even got to like talk with like an actual therapist and tarot reader. Shout out to Astro Botanical. But yeah, like every day the universe just started talking to me through the cards. Like, I basically had to teach myself over and over that it's okay to have a little delayed gratification. That the reason I've been rushing to change jobs and hurry up and grow my podcast and have a following on all of the social medias and have millions of followers overnight was because I was tired of not being able to afford my basic needs. Like, I'm tired of living in lack, but I was also tired of just like not being on my Renaissance path. So the message that Big Mama Universe said to me was move slower. You have contended with health, toxic workplaces, not being able to afford groceries, a whole mess of things. And it's not that everything you want isn't going to happen, but you keep expecting it to happen overnight. You need to move slower, Dodo. Like, literally, that's what the universe is saying to me. And so I have to tell myself, like, even when you start your day, move slow. every day I would wake up and virtually just create chaos. I would beat myself up for not immediately getting up and doing a tarot reading or going to the gym. Then I would be mad because I didn't wake up at 4:30 in the morning to start my day. Then I would be angry with my body because the hunger pangs were causing headaches. And I just wanted to just like not take care of myself for a little longer just so I could sleep, because I'm like, oh, this sleep is so good. Then I would wake up and see my kitchen is dirty and my laundry is piled up. Girl, you're doing a lot. Okay, man, I'm like, please. Mad about everything and ain't doing nothing to change it. So New Year's Eve rolls around, and I just want to take the time really quick to say, I fully acknowledge the hibernal solstice. So my actual New Year starts at the end of March. But regardless, I did a reading on myself on New Year's Eve. And I asked the universe, I said, how do I bring opportunities to make money? And the cards were very clear. Use your gifts, bitch. And you have to go incrementally. And this is my problem as a millennial who was in gifted and talented classes, tier 3 dual credit AP classes. I have been conditioned to learn new skills in 55 minutes. It sounds fucking ridiculous when you say that shit out loud. So like all the things that I've been wanting to do, like I just want to be an artist who expresses herself in all my forms and be able to support myself. But my thing is like when I want to do something, I want to be able to do it in an hour, or I want to be an expert after watching one how-to video. And then I'm upset with myself when I'm not Beyonce level of experience at it. But it's okay. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to not get something the first time. It's okay to teach yourself new things. It's okay to slow down. You have to at some point ask yourself, okay, if you do get there overnight, right? I say ask yourself, you have to tell yourself or like talk to yourself, right? Say if you do get there overnight, how will you be prepared? You will not have the experience to guide you through the new challenges that will be presented to you when you're on that part of the journey. So I had to tell myself, and I have to remind myself every day, move with intention, move a little bit at a time. All the things that you have prayed for, they're on the way. You just have to stay ready. You have to nourish yourself. You have to give yourself grace. I have to give myself grace. I have to give myself grace. I have to take care of myself. And it brought me to think about how people always say that self-care is an act of resistance. And that's, it's not that that's not true, but it's really a miscontextualization of Audre Lorde's quote. Because what she was referring to, she said, I had to examine in my dreams as well as in my immune function tests the devastating effects of overextension. Overextending myself is not stretching myself. I had to accept how difficult it is to monitor the difference. Necessary for me as cutting down on sugar, crucial physically caring for myself is not self-indulgence. It is self-preservation, and that is an act of political warfare. That was from her 1988 collection essay, A Burst of Light. And at the time, she was battling cancer. And it's really crazy to me how the neoliberal capitalist apparatus has co-opted that language to get you to buy into a very individualistic idea of self-care. And so now, because I'm moving with intention and I'm moving slower, I'm realizing self-care is not buying skincare products. It's not spa days and face masks. And it is certainly not vacationing in Hawaii when the indigenous Hawaiians have asked us to stop fucking going over there. But okay, girl. Anyway, self-care is learning communal medicine. Self-care is community gardens so that we can have fresh fruits and vegetables despite the rising costs of food. Self-care is mutual aid. Self-care is communal care. That's it. That's all. That's the component a lot of us have been missing. That's what I have been missing as I get on this podcast ever so often and talk about my struggles in order to want to relate to other people. What we're missing is community. And so when I say community, I do not mean homesteading on native land, because you need to have serious money to do that. I'm not even gonna lie. I do enjoy the little homesteading videos of the white women all over Instagram Reels and on TikTok. But the reason why they're able to homestead is because their husbands are managers at Lockheed Martin and Raytheon, because they're fucking millionaires. Like, you have to understand, you have to buy a plot of land, connect the water in a gas line, or maybe they're doing fire, but you got to connect the water line. Even if you're living to a well, bitch, if I open my bathtub and I got to go pour water from a fucking well, I'm fighting somebody. You know what I'm saying? We getting into some kind of fight. These bitches are rich as fuck. That's why they're able to afford the way that they afford these things. So no, we all can't just go get tiny homes and live in the forest and live off grid. Like, I think it's a nice fantasy, but it's like, no, we need to create systems and networks of organization to protect the most vulnerable and marginalized. And the way we achieve this is by finding our place in the revolution. There is a collective called the Slow Factory on Instagram, and they have a post pinned to their profile. It's called Callings and Roles for Collective Liberation. If you look at that post, it shows you the different roles, right? Like, you can be an abolitionist, an advocate, an artist, a healer, an analyst, an architect, an engineer, a developer, a scientist, writer, and inventor. Those are just a few things that they have on there. But in my opinion, in order for us to even understand where our role would be, I am a firm believer that you must activate your connection to the divine so that you can know your role in community. Some of y'all are communal healers and you are trying to climb the corporate ladder. And capitalism is literally damaging your brains. And so I think with that, you have to find community within to like transition. Hey, how do I get out of here? Right? Because capitalism literally isn't designed for you to find your calling. We are distracted and disabled by empire. And I fucking hate this capitalist hellhole. Like, we're supposed to be birthing doulas and Shango priestesses, and we're sitting here stressed out because a job is calling you to come into the office and risk driving during icy conditions to potentially get reinfected with COVID-19 just because you could sit at the office and send an email when you could have sent that same email from motherfucking home. Girl, fuck these jobs, okay? But we can't say fuck these jobs because, you know, we have no alternative, which is why we must work together to build one. So I would encourage people, take a look at that post and start thinking about like where you fit in. Like, for me personally, I've answered the call of artist and healer and writer, which is why I decided to stop pursuing tech certifications, to stop thinking of this fantasy of like, oh, I'm going to get really big in the tech world and then I'm going to open a venture capital thing and I'm going to start funding my own scripts. No, bitch, write the scripts now. Write the books now. Do the shit now. Because if there's anything that this genocide has taught me, we are not guaranteed tomorrow. The next day, the United States might be calling your mama and your daddy a terrorist. And your house might be blown up just because they could, because they've done it before. 1985 Move Building in Philly. Look it up. They don't give a fuck about us. And I'm fucking tired. So I said, okay, like if I laid out my all of 2023 from the last episode, we was talking about Lizzo and her bananas. And moving on. because I had, listen, please, babes. When we talked about Lizzo and her bananas and I was like, hey, the show's coming back 2024. Like I'm spending time realizing like, why I'm so angry and everything all the time. And the root cause of everything is capitalism. It's capitalism. So I'm finding the call to be an artist. I'm wanting to write my books and to self-publish and to read and to study and to have community and grow in political education, join an organization, because that's what we all got to be doing. Like, that's the only way we're going to get out of this is if we truly, truly band together. And so I've answered the call to be an artist and a healer and a writer, because who doesn't want to be healed through art? We all need healing. We all need community. And I cannot stress this enough. I understand the girls are upset that the girlies are not voting for Joe Biden. They're also not voting for Trump. I understand you want people to engage in civic engagement so bad, but I need to tell you something. Come in, listen closer. No one is going to fucking save us. We have to save ourselves. There is no candidate, no alien. Nobody is coming to do anything to help us. They are right now in the Supreme Court trying to argue if houselessness should be criminalized even further, because they're trying to essentially set up slavery. They're trying to make it so that you can't afford anything. The banks are buying up all the real estate. They want to make sure that you can't afford a place to live, that you're priced out of your home, and that when you are eventually displaced, that you most likely will become homeless, living in fucking rent a storage and centers like the old dude and his girlfriend. And then what happens then? You're out on the street. And when you're out on the street, the occupying army known as the pigs, known as the police, is going to lock you in jail. And then boom, you're a product, you're an enemy of the state. You're a ward of the state, a product of the state. You're a property of the state at that point. So no one is going to fucking save us. I don't care how angry you're mad at everybody because we say we're not voting for genocide in Biden. You're like, I don't care. We're not voting for Genocide Joe. And if you're upset with that, you need to dig deep and be like, look, maybe my party should go find a better candidate so people can vote for them. But either way, regardless of who is in that White House, they're always going to be Zionists. They're always going to support Israel. So it really doesn't fucking matter who is in that bitch. I'm not voting for any one of them. I'm trying to figure out how I can do tax exempt because they already take my taxes out my check. I think there's like a war tax strike thing that you can do. I'm looking more into that. All of this to say, I am ready for the universe to open up abundance and for all of us to receive the abundance, but we're only going to be able to receive that abundance if we build community. If we're still expecting for reform and, oh, the system works, we just have to tweak it and reform it. Girl, sit that shit down. We left that shit back in 2020 because we know reforms don't fucking work. We need total and complete abolition. And the only way to get that is through building networks of organization. We divest. Look at the Black Panthers when we understand the ambulance and how the Black Panthers got medical training. Because before, when you did ambulance work, it was a cop who did it. A cop who got like in trouble or was like on probation. So when you called for your grandmother who was having a heart attack for 911, it would be a cop who just finished beating the shit out of Black people. He would come an hour later, your grandmother dying on the floor, and he would just leave her in the back of the fucking paddy wagon. Or they would sit up here and say shit, oh, we don't have authorization to touch this body. So what ends up happening? The Black Panthers got trained in EMTs. They got trained as EMTs, and then they started doing free health services and healthcare clinics and health screenings. So much so that it brought media attention for sickle cell. And now we have a national program for sickle cell throughout the United States. They did free breakfast programs, and literally because we divested from that, now there's a free and reduced lunch program that they're also trying to take away. These people are fucking maniacs. But you see what I'm saying? It is the fact that people save the people. The system never saves the people. I said all that to say, I am excited for 2024. I am excited to take the necessary steps to be in community and live out a fully safeguarded life. And so as we close, because I've been speaking for a long time, honey, and I'm ready to go. I speak into existence the end of occupation of all occupied lands and people. May we see a free Palestine, a free Sudan, a free Congo, Hawaii, Puerto Rico, Yemen, everybody. Give us free. Give us free. But yeah, girl, this year is going to be full of abundance. It's going to be full of life. It's going to be full of truth. Bitch, stand in your Cat Williams. Okay? Keep your holes virgin. But stick around for the ride, my orchids, because 2024 is going to be very good to us. Peace out. Yeah!